We're talking today with Dr. Darrell Peel, of course, Extension Livestock Market Economist, Oklahoma State University. And let's talk a little bit about right now where we are. This cattle market, we've just really concluded the first quarter. What do you think about 15 so far?
Well, I think, you know, from my standpoint, it's kind of as expected. You know, beef production is still down. It's down probably a little more this, you know, so far this year. But it's consistent with what we generally expected. We don't have more cattle yet. Prices, after going through a fairly significant adjustment in late last year and in the first part of this year, have settled back now, have come back to a level that I think probably really represents the fundamentals a little bit better. You know, we still have concerns about beef demand. We've had those for many, many months. 2014 was a pleasant surprise in general from a beef demand standpoint. We're worried about lots of pork and other things affecting the market this year, but so far, really, there's no strong indication that beef demand has any serious problems at this point.
I guess with maybe the lone exception of the export market, that's got to be a little bit of a worry.
It certainly is, and you know, it's an issue for all of the meats. It's in some sense a bigger issue for pork and poultry because they're increasing production, and so that means we're going to, with a slowdown in exports there, we're going to be dumping more of that meat back into the domestic market, and that's what creates the bigger issue then for the beef industry. Our exports will be down a little bit because of the strong dollar impacts. Our imports will be up a little bit, but more importantly, we face those increased domestic supplies of pork and poultry because they're not exporting as much.
But let's talk a little bit about where you see right now these wholesale prices, the actual, I guess, most direct indicator of beef demand. It seems like we've kind of crept back up on these choice cutouts.
We have over the last 3 weeks or so, we've increased those cutout values. Again, it reflects the fact that supply continues to be very tight. We are getting closer to what we think of as summertime demand, so we're getting into a stronger demand period for beef. And in fact, you know, when you look at what retailers are doing at this point, they're already ramping up for the Memorial Day weekend and generally for that summer demand. And we're seeing that reflected relative to these tight supplies that still exist.
I guess what it's still worth their while to include some beef in some featuring in order to get that consumer into their store.
You know, they're going to continue to have beef. They can't afford not to. Some folks are going to continue to eat it. Everybody's made adjustments, both consumers and retailers, and so their patterns have shifted a little bit. But again, seasonally, at whatever level, beef demand will strengthen here as we move towards the Memorial Day weekend.
Let's talk a little bit about current cash prices at the feedlot level, the animals headed for the processing plants. It's harder and harder, it seems like, to really get a handle on what that price is. The cash market just continues to evaporate.
Well, it's pretty thin, and sometimes the trade is real slow to develop. This is a time of the year on a seasonal basis where we tend to have more captive supplies, if you will. We've got more formula-type cattle, so there's a little bit thinner cash trade now even than there would be at some other times of the year. But in general, you know, what we see is that the feedlots are facing pretty poor margins. They're selling the most expensive cattle they ever bought from last fall right now, and so their margins are poor. And for the most part, packer margins have been pretty poor as well, and that's the situation we've been in much of the first quarter, is that both sectors have negative margins. There's not a case of one getting it at the expense of the other. There just isn't any margin for either one of those sectors, and that will change as we go through the year. It can't last indefinitely, so we have to wait and see kind of how that plays out. The real key to all of it, again, is beef demand and how high can we keep those wholesale and retail prices.
So I guess what the rather solid 2014 we had in those sectors, the feedlot sector as well as the packers, that's kind of evaporated.
It has for the time being because we've had wholesale values until recently. They have strengthened, but they've been kind of capped. We've kept fed cattle prices pretty strong, so we've kept the packer margins negative. Byproduct values have been a little bit weaker. That's kind of a reflection of some of that global market weakness that we see out there. So again, yeah, here through the first quarter, we've had basically negative margins at both the packer and feedlot levels. And that won't last. And we see the changes starting to come. Packers or feedlots have a ways to go yet to get out of these negative margins. But as we move through the second half of the year, they're going to have at least a chance for some improvement in those margins.
Our neighbors to the south, the Mexicans, they obviously we're in the middle of a trade dispute with them as well as Canada. But regarding their cattle industry, they were very tight, a lot of liquidation last year. Are they coming close to running out of cattle that they can send north of the border?
You know, on the Mexican side as well as the Canadian side, it does not appear that either of those countries have done much in the way of herd expansion yet. There are some signs now in Mexico that perhaps that's beginning. Last year, a lot of the feeder cattle, proportionately more of the increase in feeder cattle from Mexico last year were spayed heifers coming up here. So far this year, the weekly preliminary data that we get indicates that heifer exports from Mexico to the U.S. have gone down. Steers are up a little bit. But that's probably the first sign. Moisture conditions have been quite favorable, actually, in Mexico. And so that probably is stimulating some additional heifer retention and herd rebuilding in Mexico.
So they've actually are starting to break out of some of those droughty conditions they've had.
They really are. Their conditions have improved. Last year was a pretty good year in much of the country. And recently, of course, it's still the dry season there, but relative to that, they've seen some better moisture conditions. So, you know, my expectation as we go through the year is that we will see the cattle coming in from Mexico tighten up even more. I don't think they have the ability to keep sending more cattle to the U.S., and especially not if they do begin any significant herd rebuilding.
Let's talk about herd rebuilding for us. January cattle inventory report gave us some very strong numbers, both the beef cows themselves, but also the heifers being held back. What are you really anticipating? In other words, we're 1/4 into 2015. What do you think how this is going to play out this year?
Well, obviously, I think we really don't know yet from the standpoint of the drought areas in particular. You know, it's going to get better or worse in the next 60 days. That sounds silly, but, you know, it just won't stay the same. It was dry all winter, but it didn't matter during the winter. But it matters a lot in the spring. And so when you think of the Southern Plains areas, which are the biggest deficit region in terms of the number of cattle that were down, I think it's still very much a question mark. We'll have a better idea probably in 60 to 90 days of what the situation is there. General picture, you know, after a somewhat surprising 2% increase in the beef cow herd last year, and I say somewhat surprising, it wasn't really surprising to me that it could happen, although I didn't expect it to be quite that big. I'm not so sure that we have as good a chance to maintain that this year, even if we continue forward with herd expansion. Because of the limited forage conditions, even if we have decent rains from here on in the southern plains, we need some time to recover. We're going to see less herd growth in the eastern half of the country in general because we've lost pasture acreage there. Not to say that there won't be any herd expansion, but it'll be less. So I think there's a good chance that that herd expansion takes a fairly moderate pace, even with generally good weather conditions. Should we see the drought redevelop in any significant way in the southern plains, we could halt or even reverse what herd expansion we saw last year.
I guess what really central eastern Texas is probably better off than much of Oklahoma.
You know, the eastern half and that line has moved farther west in Texas through kind of central Texas. They've gotten pretty good moisture. We had a big jump in herd numbers in Texas last year. Without some additional recovery in some other drought areas, you wouldn't see that. I wouldn't expect to see that again this year, but we are seeing some of that. So, again, conditions are generally better there. There's this kind of developing island of drought that's in north central to parts of west Texas and western Oklahoma and the panhandle. Even west of there's some regions in New Mexico and southern Colorado that have improved somewhat. So we kind of have an island of drought. But depending on what happens to that in the next couple months will be very important for this year.
Well, you've gotten out and you've had several meetings. A lot of these guys, whether it's cow-calf guys or stalker guys, what sort of message are you giving them right now? How do they need to be playing this? These next couple of quarters of 2015?
Well, I think for 2015, you know, it depends on who you are. If you are in drought recovery mode, then you're still kind of on the defense here. You're kind of playing that in terms of what you can do. You want to take advantage of these markets as best you can, but you have to work with your forage resources. Other folks, I think, are being much more aggressive in general, particularly the cow-calf sector, definitely sitting in the driver's seat now. We don't have enough cattle, and the market is increasingly telling them to do that. I think for a lot of, especially the cow-calf people, the biggest thing for the next few years that I have emphasized a lot is sort of what are your expectations for the next 3 to 5 years? I think that plays into a lot of, you know, do you think we have 2 or 3 more years of good, strong cattle prices that justify going out and paying what it takes to get these breeding animals? If you don't believe that, then you're not going to do that. So what are you going to do to take advantage of the high prices that we have while we have them? If you think they're there, you're going to go ahead and make those investments and be thinking a little bit farther down the road. So I've spent a lot of time trying to help producers understand how we got to where we are and what that implies for the next 3 to 5 years so that they can come to a decision about strategically how they need to be positioned for the rest of the decade, really.
How big, in other words, you've had a chance to probably look at this and in light of these latest numbers and everything, how big of a cow herd are you expecting us to get to? What do we really need to have, you know, adequate beef to go through the pipeline domestically and internationally?
At this point in time, you know, my expectation is it will go back to something above a 32 million head beef cow herd. We're, you know, just under 30 million head now, 29.7. So we've got another 2 to 2.5 or so million head, I think, of growth. Obviously, we'll be watching conditions as we go, and we could moderate that. But at this point in time, I think we have a significant amount of recovery to do, and I think it'll take us most of the rest of the decade to get there.
So it'll take. This is going to be a 4 or 5 year process, in other words.
I really do. I think even with relatively aggressive growth rates, it takes us out close to the end of the decade. With any sort of a hiccup in terms of drought improvement or other things, most of the things that could affect that would be things that would slow it down. There's not much out there that can really make it happen any faster than that. So I think we're pretty safe in looking at a 3 to 5 year period here.